I know you.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Film Chat. Today we are talking about Treasure Planet. Yes. This is a series where we talk about movies and a little bit about music. I'm your host, Isaac, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Brian.
Hello.
Yeah. Mm. And before we kick off the episode, I want to plug our podcast, Instagram, at WaveframePod, where you can stay up to date on our episodes and fun art that we post. Or if you want to follow me, I'm at IPDeBoer on Instagram. Brian, do you want to plug your Instagram?
Sure. What is it?
I just thought about it. I was I've never asked you to plug
is
that.
Is it Brian.Jackson or Jackson.Brian?
It might be Jackson.Brian.
So I have taken to posting on Instagram once a year.
Nice.
Which is kind of... It's Jackson.Brian, B-R-Y-N.
Yeah.
I post once a year with just whatever photos of things that happen that year. And it's usually because I'm backpacking and you won't be able to get a hold of me for 3 or 4 days.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, hey, sorry, I'm not going to answer for 3 days. I'm outside.
I love that.
And also, here's some things that happened. It's basically I'm still alive, everybody. And there's a section of people that get kind of pumped now
when you post?
Annual fall post. So,
well, if it's backpacking stuff, that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, and then I have been occasionally sharing the WaveFrame stuff on my story.
Yeah, I've been seeing that. That's fun.
I got a lot of people looking at it, which is surprising.
And
I didn't know many people followed me.
I think it works when you do it because it's so rare, so people are like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a little treat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would do it all the time, but I forget.
No, so, don't do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's better when you do it less often.
Yeah. Man, I got to start being cool online.
Yeah, well, I mean, recently I've been thinking maybe it's better to try to go in the opposite direction. Like, it'd be cool to start a little zine. Ooh. You know, and send it to people monthly.
Yeah.
As kind of an anti-social media.
Be even more underground.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Instead of, because I realized that trying to be cool online is not my thing. I am just ugh. And then you check the likes and you're like, oh, this had a lot of likes or not a lot of likes. And then you think about it too much. And anyway, so I'm trying to move away from that.
Yeah. But I like the idea of intentionally being hard to find.
Well, I mean, I'm inspired by different artists who, Frank Ocean. Do you know him?
Yeah.
He barely puts out an album, or if he does, it's every 7 years.
Yeah.
And he has two amazing albums, actually, four, but two officially released ones.
Yeah.
And they're all amazing. They're all really good.
Yeah.
And then if he posts something on Tumblr or online or on his Instagram or whatever, people are reading into it and what does that mean? And
it's it must be a big deal because he doesn't do stuff very often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So quality over quantity is what I'm trying to say.
Aziz Ansari does it's not necessarily a bit, but he talks about him, when he was, Aziz was trying to figure out how to be less stressed.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, Frank Ocean is he's doing well and he seems not super stressed. And so he asked him, how do you do it? And he was like, oh, it's easy. You just have to make less money. And Aziz was like, oh, okay, that's going to be tough, you know? The trade-off is you're just poor.
Well, I mean,
you just work less.
Right? Yeah, I would say work less is the right version of it, but I would not call Frank Ocean poor.
I think he's doing fine. He's fine, but he's content not being as rich as he could be.
True. Yeah, he's definitely not capitalizing on it fully.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that's the biggest issue with the newest Taylor Swift album. Is it just too much?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
is she trying to make money too much off of it,
or not really trying to make too much money, but just it's just too much Taylor Swift all the time.
Oh.
And then she pumps out a 30-song album.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like...
Yeah. Let us miss you.
Right. Yes, exactly. Let us not have you for a bit so that we can like it more.
Yeah.
But it's just too much. To which I'm sure she would say, screw you, it's not about you, I'm doing what I want.
Yeah, well, or she likes money, or it could be both, which is great. I like money.
It's good to have some.
Yeah, it's good to have some.
It
reminds me of like Disney Plus with all the Marvel and Star Wars shows. That's what, and ironically, Taylor Swift is on Disney Plus now.
Right.
Which seems like she fits right in.
The just flood the market strategy.
Yes. Is flood the market.
Unhelpful.
But yeah, are you grateful for anything today?
Ooh. I am grateful for, this is going to be like the nerdiest thing ever, but the the Ottawa County Parks, man.
Yeah, dude.
This time of year, especially, I'm so glad
that
there is like this massive list of good parks to go to. Do a little bird watching and walking. Yeah, there's a whole bunch I'm like, I'm not even going to get to this spring that I want to go to. Like, you could, it could be a whole project to see all of the Ottawa County parks in a year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I just went to Hemlock Crossings.
Oh, it's great.
It's so good.
Yeah, that's the hub.
Yeah, I was there with my grandma, and she's on one of the little leaves, like plaques of people who donated to
the thing.
And I have a little picture of it. I'm so proud.
They do little like kayaking trips down that river.
Oh, nice.
We should definitely do that. And they're super cheap.
Yes.
They give you a kayak.
The river is very windy. Dude, we have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
what is it? The Platte or what
river
is
that? Pigeon.
Pigeon. Yeah. I knew it was a P.
Yeah. Last time I tried to do it, we got like 10 yards in and we couldn't keep going because there was a beaver dam.
Oh, really?
And I was like, yeah, way to go, beavers. Like, they won. They beat us. they did it. They dammed it up.
Wait, so you guys couldn't like portage? What do you call it? Is that portage?
Yeah. So our guide was like, well, we could hop out and carry him over. But like half the people were like in jeans.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, we got to go to lunch after this.
Oh, so it was a small little trip.
Yeah, it was like 10 people and it was guided by one of the parks people.
Yeah.
Me and him were up for it. We were like, come on, let's do it. Let's get wild. But they were not. It was not that kind of group. So we packed it in.
That's great.
Yeah. So thankful for that.
I'm very thankful for the Ottawa County Parks, too.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that spring isn't always super hot. Like sometimes there's cold, cool breezes that come through. And I love that. That is amazing. Like going outside and you feel like you could still wear a long sleeve or pants.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I'm walking around and thinking this kind of feels like fall, which is a strange feeling in the spring. But
yeah,
I'm still thankful for all of the, what do you call it? Cool breezes.
The various patterns.
You feel like you can wear a flowy long sleeve or take it off.
Mm-hmm.
Either one. It's very versatile.
Yeah. I don't know that I own anything flowy.
I was thinking like beach attire.
Like over
your swimsuit or something like that. Well, you don't have like a shirt that is a button up, but you don't tuck it in and you just let it.
Oh, yeah. That's like half my shirts.
Okay, but like a beach a beach vibe. You should get one that's more lightweight.
Yeah.
And it's made out of,
it's more flowy.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of like a specific,
like linen?
Yeah, like linens.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they rip easier, but
still.
Yeah, you should definitely get some of those.
Like, looking semi-fashionable is such a new thing for me.
Well, you definitely aren't unfashionable.
Right.
But semi-fashionable, there's always room to grow. Like, I think I have a lot of room to grow.
Yeah. Trying in any way, shape, or form. It's like, as of the last couple years. And that's mostly because I found a website I like, and I just go with that.
What website?
Everlane.
Never heard of it.
Oh, that's where, like, 90% of my clothes are from.
Nice.
Just the one, yeah. It really was about like simplicity.
Yeah.
Of like I didn't want to put a lot of work into it. And so totally. It's like, these look decent, they're reasonably priced. They're supposedly eco-friendly.
The big three.
I've heard some people say it's kind of faux eco-friendly and I was like, "Don't ignorance is bliss. Can't do it all." So another corporate plug that can sponsor us, hopefully,
in the future. Yeah. We'll write all these down and email them.
Yeah. We're going to get the New Yorker in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
Everlane in California.
Yeah, that was a fun shop to go to. I just went there because of you.
Isn't it fascinating?
It is fascinating.
It's an interesting vibe.
It's a good vibe. Yeah. I like it. They've got a lot of selection and people who know their stuff. And like that's what you need at a place like that.
Super kind. Yeah. That's good.
But yeah, today we're talking about Treasure Planet, mm-hmm. which came out, I want to say 2001 or 2, but I can't remember. Yeah. And I've loved this movie ever since my wife Anna showed me it. It is weirdly emotional at times. It's mm-hmm. a swashbuckling adventure in space. Yeah. You don't get that very often. So I guess I'll just start with a synopsis. If you know the story of Treasure Island, it's very similar, although there's a few big changes. Mm. You have Jim Hawkins, and you have Mr. Silver.
John Silver.
Thank you.
Long John Silver.
Is that where he originates?
That is what the internet says.
That's amazing. Okay, yeah, you got Long John Silver. Jim Hawkins, he and his mom are trying to run an inn together. But he's kind of a rebellious kid because, a little bit of a spoiler, but this is...
it's 2002. We can spoil this movie. No.
Well, the book is like, I don't know, 1905 or whatever. I don't know.
We can spoil.
Yes, thank you. And actually, like, you can enjoy it even if it's spoiled to you. But,
for sure.
Yeah, his dad left for reasons kind of unknown. Mm-hmm. So he's a bit of a moody boy. He's got the hair from like the kid in Terminator 2 or kind of like the 90s, Titanic maybe.
DiCaprio
had that a little bit. Uh-huh. The floppiness is present and I'm here for it. It's great.
Yeah.
And then, he gets visited by this guy, Billy Bones.
Yeah.
Who I love in this movie and in Muppet Treasure Island. So check out Muppet Treasure Island if haven't seen that. It's also very good for very different reasons.
Yeah.
And Billy Bones says, hey, here's a map. I'm going to die in a second. And there's treasure at the end of this. That's verbatim what he says.
Yeah. And he's very clear.
Yeah, exactly. So then they go on this epic adventure. They hire a crew who actually want the treasure. And then they have a lot of conflict and tension because of that. Because the crew is head up by Long John Silver, who's kind of a good guy, kind of a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then they try to get the treasure. That's pretty much it. I don't know. Everybody knows the story of Treasure Island, right?
Yeah.
Treasure Planet?
Well, I don't know. I have not read Treasure Island. So.
I hadn't either, but you kind of... It's a pirate movie, and so you're not surprised by any of the plot beats, I should say.
Right. Yeah.
Which this probably... The book probably started a lot of the tropes.
I think the only thing I would add would be that Long John Silver...
Yeah.
Is pretending to be part of the crew, but then throws a mutiny.
Mm-hmm.
And his arc is he's torn because he becomes friends with the main character, Jim Hawkins, almost becomes like a surrogate father figure.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
not
yeah.
almost. Definitely becomes a surrogate father figure.
Definitely.
But then it sort of becomes this decision between Jim, his newfound son.
yes.
And... being very piratey and going after the treasure himself.
He's been searching for this treasure for a long time, and he lost an arm and a leg and an eye.
Yeah, he's a cyborg now.
He's a cyborg.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
And at first, he chooses the treasure, and then in the end, he chooses Jim.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's great.
It is good.
I love this movie, but I want to know your thoughts on this movie.
Yeah, I saw it for the first time. Yeah. Was that last week?
Yeah, it was.
It was last week.
Uh-huh.
I really liked it. For a Disney movie that I knew almost nothing about, which was surprising, given that I grew up in this era.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Yeah, I know. You did the research.
I did.
Did the homework. I'm just teeing you up.
Yeah, thank you.
Research.
Yeah.
Again, like... The like counselor therapist in me loved the stuff with like the relationship between Jim and Long John Silver.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been, they could have gone the really easy route of him just being a surrogate father.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that he's like, he's not a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he comes in and he betrays him.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. So this thing Jim desperately wants, which is somebody to, like, guide him and lead him and teach him, he gets, and then it's taken away again.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just finding a replacement dad, he has sort of a moment of, like, oh, I don't actually need somebody. Like, I can be okay on my own, but I can also have good people around me at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I love, yeah, there's a depth there that I don't think all animated movies get to
mm-hmm.
all the time. Like, sometimes it's a little too simple, but this seems like they did a good job, like, with the complexity of it.
It's nuanced, so, for sure.
Yeah.
And from the beginning, there's a push and a pull, because Jim doesn't want to be with Silver because he's going to be a cabin boy / cook assistant.
Yeah.
And he wants to be the captain of the ship vibe.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, first mate.
Yeah.
And so then he doesn't want to be around Silver. Plus, Billy Bones was like, beware the cyborg, you know? And so
right. And he's
immediately,
a cyborg.
You know, he's,
yeah,
like,
he's suspicious.
He's a cyborg. Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense. But then there's Morph, you know, who, like, probably helps the situation a lot.
Definitely.
Morph is this parrot in the book, but in the movie, he's this little gooby gobby.
He's Flubber.
Yeah, he's Flubber with eyes and a
yeah.
personality.
Yeah.
He's a mix between, I think the creator said, like, a puppy and, like, a, I don't know. Yeah, he's like a pet. Like a baby and a puppy. And he's
yeah.
all feeling and no thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he can shapeshift.
Totally. Yeah, that's why he's called Morph.
Into
yeah.
anything. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like Ditto, the Pokemon.
Yeah. He's the comedic relief.
He's great. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So then one of the creators, I was listening to a commentary track of this movie yesterday, and there was like six white guys who introduced themselves, and two of them were the directors, and then four of them were like assistant or like supervisor of blank, blank, blank. But I couldn't tell them all apart, so then I'm just going to be slinging facts and not knowing. I'm going to say one of the creators.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was one of the directors who said that if you have a bad guy, but he loves his dog, he's redeemable in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, he can't be that bad.
Yeah.
You know, and he truly does love Morph. He takes care of Morph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd say the same of, I'm going to throw back to, like, was it our first episode? Seven Psychopaths.
Yeah. I mean, we split it up into two. But
oh,
we did
yeah,
the
yeah,
Mission
yeah.
Impossible and Seven
yeah.
Psychopaths. But yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Second
episode. He loves that dog.
Oh, yeah. He does. Yeah, yeah. Or the donkey in the donkey in Banshees of Inisherin.
Yes.
Sorry, I was getting it mixed up for a second.
Yep.
Yeah,
no,
he does love that dog.
He does
yeah.
love that dog.
Yeah, uh-huh. Which makes you like him as an audience.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a push and pull where, like, they don't like each other right away, and then Jim and Silver, they really like each other because they bond over, like, you know, Silver's like, I see greatness in you, and, like, you know, I can't wait to see what you do. And then he overhears Silver take that all back in front of the crew, and Silver doesn't know he's around, and so he feels betrayed, and he feels like this guy's just faking all of it, and Silver's
mm-hmm.
like, well, I actually meant a lot of that, but I also need my treasure and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's a push and pull forever until the ending, which is pretty emotional, I would say. But
mm-hmm.
I feel like the best, the two, like, my favorite emotional resonance points are the first one, like I was talking about, where Jim thinks that he accidentally killed somebody,
mm-hmm.
but it was really Big Crab Spider Guy.
Yeah, Scroop.
Scroop, yes.
What a great name.
Dude, Scroop is a great name.
Scroop.
And also, the voice actor for Scroop is impeccable.
Yeah.
He in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, in the Disney movie, he
yeah.
played the guy who, it's like Froyo, but it's not like Froyo, but it's
yeah.
Froyo.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say his name, but it's like Froyo. But he, like, the horrible villain, awful person in the bad priest in Hunchback of Notre Dame. And if anybody, have you seen that?
I have. I couldn't tell you anything about it.
He's got a whole song about hellfire and like lusting over a woman in a Disney movie. So it's a good movie in some ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's a great voice actor. Why was I talking about Scroop again?
Because Scroop killed Captain. Is it Captain Arrow?
Yeah. Mr. Arrow.
Yeah.
The rock man.
Yeah.
Really cool Geo
dude.
But
made everybody think that it was Jim.
Yes. And so Jim's all down in the dumps for good reason. And then Silver comes along and says, you'll be fine. Like, you're going to do great stuff one day. And he really leans into the father figure then. Mm-hmm. And the animators said that they did that scene and they animated it like 3 or 4 times because... And they said if there was one scene that they would go back to, it would be that scene because it's so important to their relationship. And it's a moment between two people that really, really is special. Mm-hmm. And one of the directors was like, I was drawing from my own experience of being on a football team in high school and like botching a play or like something went horribly wrong. And then after the game, the coach came up to him and pretty much gave him a similar like John Silver speech and was like, hey man, like I'm gonna be there when you make your first like big touchdown, and I'm gonna be there when you know we win the state championship, like I think there's greatness in you, like you have it in you. And like the coach was like tearing up and like really meant it.
Yeah.
And so, and supposedly looked similar to John Silver in this, because like, the animator is like putting his life into this, literally, you know? And I thought that was so awesome. I was like, yes.
Dang.
So I've teared up during that scene before.
Oh yeah. I felt it a lot. I think not to be, I don't want to be too sad or cheesy, but.
Please.
I just have encountered so many people, especially recently too, who particularly, for whatever reason, I think dads can have this impact, like either through their words or actions, like tell people the story really young that they're not good enough in some way, or like they're not worth sticking around for or whatever it might be. And like people come into my office every day who are still dealing with that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many people in the future tell them, like, that's not true, that's not who you are. They just, like, have such a hard time not holding that identity that, like, because their dad said or did this, then that's true about them. And so it, like, this movie was spot on. Like, it'll, like, people will spend their entire lives dealing with this one thing that their dad said or did. It's, like, it's really hard. And so to have... Like, when you're still young, to have a different adult figure come in and say something meaningful like that.
Yes.
It's like, it's big.
Yes.
Like, it's, it's really important.
It's monumental.
That we have people that are our parents come in and tell us, like, things that are important about us.
I feel like Western society does a bad job with mentorship, and that's what this feels like.
Yeah.
And it's almost extra special because there's no blood relations. There's no obligation. Yeah. It's just like, this guy chose me because I'm me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's really good. That reminds me of, there's a book called Island by the guy who wrote, I'm going to drop his name.
That's
I'm going to look it up really quick. You distract.
Okay, well, I was thinking about... This is another cool story from the animators. They were trying to figure out the flashback montage. There's this amazing montage with this song that I'm not even... I want to try to sing it right now, but I'm just not going to do that. Maybe I'll put in, like, a little clip of it right here. But
you should sing it, though.
Well, isn't it, like, I'm Still Here, like, the song... The guy I think it's like John Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls. He sings it. And supposedly he was, they were temping it. So they temporarily had a U2 track and then a different track that they were working with. And they were like, this isn't working. We want a different vibe. And so they met with, I think his name's John Resnick. Thank you.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. They met with him, and he was like, oh, man, like, I really connected this story. His life had a very similar trajectory where his father left him early, and, like, he found a mentor. And so he felt like Jim a lot. And supposedly, like, when he was first recording this, he was doing this Bob Dylan sort of thing because he didn't have any lyrics. He was like, and just kind of was like huffing it, but like in a good emotional way.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, this is it. This is awesome. And the animators were trying to figure out what to put in the montage because originally it was just going to be like taking the barnacles off of the ship or like swabbing the deck or bonding with John Silver, etc. But then they're like, should we add the flashback? Because somebody had that idea.
Yeah.
And the flashback. Dude, the
flashback wrecked me.
Dude, yeah, I know, flashback, right? Because it sees a little kid. Me.
It's like, oh, you monster.
I know, and you never really see the dad's face. So he's just this, like, presence.
Yeah.
And they were like, it's not really working. So one of the animators, like, drove 2 hours away to, like, a cabin in the woods and was like, all right, I'm going to figure this out this weekend.
Yeah.
And he called his wife and he was like, all right, this is what we're thinking of doing. And he explained the whole thing, like, the flashback during the montage and all that. Uh-huh. And then there was just silence. And he's like, oh, do you not like it? Like, what's going on? And she's like, I'm crying.
Oh, God. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he's like, okay, if you're crying, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, we got to do it.
Obviously, we hit the right notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought those were, like, really, really cool behind the scenes of the planet.
That, like, that song and
montage
slash the flashbacks, I was like, they are not screwing around.
No,
like,
they're not.
This is tough. Like, oh, tough. Man. Yeah. I found it.
Yeah.
So to go back, it reminded me, like, the bit you were saying about mentorship, and I think, like, more broadly, like, being it, like, communal living.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book by Aldous Huxley, who's famous for Brave New World.
Yeah, he's super famous for that.
Which is a dystopia.
Yeah.
What most people don't know is he also wrote a utopia.
Called
Island.
Whoa.
And in my opinion, it's the better book. It's weird, heads up.
Okay.
But it's about a guy that gets,
but in a good way.
Yeah, it's about a guy that gets stranded on an island, and it's essentially Aldous Huxley's, like, version of what a utopia would be.
Wow.
And there's a bunch of stuff, but part of it is the way they live is that if a kid and their parents are, like, just really struggling, they're going back and forth, it's supposed that the kid will just go to another house and live with another family for a little bit.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, whenever things get too chaotic in the house or it feels like they can't resolve something, they just take a break and the kid just shows up at somebody else's house and they're like, hey, yeah, come live with us for a little bit.
That's amazing.
So you still have your parents,
but
you live in a community where you can kind of come in and out and it's a little more transient and it's expected that you just sort of help each other out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember when I was interning at Bethany Christian Services, they had a program that was meant to try to make that possible. So you could sign up. It was like one step lower than foster parenting.
Okay.
So it was like you could sign up to be a house where if parents just really needed a break for a day or a weekend, they could drop the kids off and you would watch after them or something like that. And I think there are flaws to that and obviously, you know, different problems, but yeah, I just loved that part of it. Where it's like, oh man, what if we had some version of that?
Yeah.
How many problems would that solve if people could just get a break for a little bit? I know so many parents that are like, if I could just get a little bit of a break, I would do so much better.
Especially in this modern, like, decade / 40 years ago, you know, this all kind of, like, our institutions aren't as strong.
Yeah.
And, like, it, you know, churches or / families, you know, like, extended families at their best can do some of those things. Like, go stay with your grandparents for a week or aunts and uncles, that sort of thing. Or, like, you can have a mentor at church.
Yeah.
Or, like, we used to, like, live in tribes, like, back in the, you know, early days. And I think now parents try to do things too much by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like the saying, it takes a village, I just want to take that so seriously.
Yeah.
If I'm ever a parent, like, I want to be the type of person who's like, yeah, I do need a break so that I can be a better parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think as much as I have problems with church,
yeah,
that's one of the things that I think is lost.
Totally.
Now that we're sort of losing church as a community institution, mm-hmm. is, yeah, when you're a parent, it's kind of just you.
It's crazy. Like, yeah, if we're losing churches, what do you replace it with? And mm-hmm. that's why I think it's really cool to hear about Bethany Christian Services, those types of places trying yeah. to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, they're trying to do something.
Yeah.
But it takes so much work, whereas I think previously it was just sort of built in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like this movie, the fact that we're talking, like it instigates some of these conversations. Like mm-hmm. it shows how meaningful the filmmakers really felt, like this stuff matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Billy Bones turtle guy, supposedly the person who was like the point person for
yeah.
him
yeah.
had a whole planet he was from and like anatomically like thought of like, okay, how would a big turtle move? And like she had everything for yeah. this guy. And they when yeah. they go to the actual treasure planet, you know, there's like weird moss and vegetation on top of this metal planet.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we designed that after, like, what would it look like if you never opened your fridge for 10 years? Like, that's what this would look like. And like, we're only going to use the color green when it's in association with Treasure Planet. Like in the first half of the movie, they didn't have a lot of greens at all.
Oh my gosh.
And like portal on this treasure planet opens up to a bunch of places, and you might think like, well, what civilization made this? And in their minds, they are like, yeah, an alien race made this so that they could explore the universe. Mm-hmm. But then Captain Flint just co-opted it to
steal to hide from treasure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah. he could go anywhere in the universe to like pillage and plunder.
Yeah.
So like the backstory, it's all kind of implied. Like, mm-hmm. when they flip through, like, portal after portal after portal, you get to see, like, at one point I was like, oh, that looks like Dune, you know?
Yeah, well, it was definitely Dune. Like, there was a giant worm in sand. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, giant monsters and weird planets and all this stuff. And so, to me, it feels like there's so much more inviting you into this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that it's only one movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a video game and stuff, but I'm not going to play that just because it looks yeah. like 2002 video game. Some people like
no
it.
Idea. Yeah.
I didn't watch that video. I watched like 5 minutes of it and I was like, I'm good.
That's not good. For me. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, there's like so much put into this movie.
Yeah. I was just thinking like the turtle was only in the movie for like a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
And to have crafted a whole backstory. Yes, like I can't imagine sitting there like, you guys don't understand.
Yes, yes. The people who work at Disney are all like dungeon master types.
Yeah.
You know, of D&D. They're like, okay, so even though this is only a cameo, this guy, he's got a whole race yeah. he's from. You know, it's like Star Wars nerds. They're like, oh, are you talking about Klupon 4?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he actually was a Sith at one point until this happened to him.
And just then, annals of lore. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, Wikipedia stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wikipedia.
Yes.
Yep. There's a backstory for everything.
But I feel like all of that just helps immerse me in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that big shot where they're like, all right, we're going to go on this adventure. And then they shoot out of the window, the camera does,
mm-hmm.
and you get to see the moon, but then it turns into this whole port, and it's yeah. actually just a crescent instead of being, you know, like our moon is a
yeah.
sphere.
Yeah,
it's a crescent. And so you get brilliant. To like see the millions of, or at least like it feels like millions of aliens and
mm-hmm.
the ships and the like port, and it's just like, wow, this. And then they combine the 3D effects.
Yeah,
like yeah. the cool stuff, and then the 2D animated. It's so awesome.
I know. That's the part where I almost, part of me wants a remake.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want them to mess with the story too much.
Yeah.
But I feel like with modern technology, you could do some of those things really cool. It was cool to see, because they would flip between 2D and 3D.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The 3D felt like this is new for them. They haven't done this a ton.
To be clear, I think some of it looks amazing.
Like, yes, impeccable. It is. It's really cool.
Like, the actual, like, John Silver cyborg stuff feels, like, kinetic and very cool motion. And, you know, it's like a Swiss Army knife and it changes.
Yeah.
And then he can, like, shank it into his leg and then take out, like, a cannon. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah. So,
as a kid, I think you wouldn't really notice the, like, wonky 3D effects. Like, the whales looking a little non-textured or something like that.
Also, space whales.
Yeah.
I feel every movie, every space movie has whales in space. I feel like if there's another... If there are alternate realities,
oh yeah,
every other one has space whales.
Probably
that we know about.
Like Ahsoka has space whales.
Yeah, they all got space whales.
Wait, what are the other space whales? I'm trying to think.
Okay, so that's Star Wars.
Yes.
Are there space whales in Guardians of the Galaxy?
There might be.
Probably.
I can't think.
There's got to be space whales in the Marvel universe.
It just feels right because the space, the sky. not the sky. Like, space feels like the ocean in a lot of ways.
Sure.
So maybe I'm happy that there's whales out there.
And there's a whole board game around space whales.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And you're like, it's like Windward, I think.
Oh, that sounds great.
You're space pirates.
Wow. Fun.
Yeah. It's a decent game.
Yeah. Well, maybe they were inspired by this film. Maybe.
Probably.
I did think to myself, like, okay, it'd be fun to write different stories or actually have a Dungeons and Dragons campaign in this universe.
Mm.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, when should I dive into... Well, like, okay, when should I dive into the drama? Because I want to dump the drama on you at some point.
Wait, what drama?
Like, okay, this movie did not make... enough money at the box office.
Oh, yeah.
It had like $140 million budget.
Yeah.
And like it didn't make very much domestically in the United States.
Yeah.
Even though they have like amazing music, like the orchestral score just slaps.
Yeah.
And then those two songs we were talking about.
They do slap.
They are amazing.
They rip. Yeah.
And they are so intentional. Like they had this rule where it was like 70-30 where... 70% of even the score they tried to incorporate this into it. 70% of it was old timey Treasure Island like 1700s look.
Okay.
And then 30% of it they wanted it to be futuristic. So like you know they're gonna have guns but they're gonna shoot lasers. They're gonna look like
muskets.
And you know it's a ship, but it's powered by the sun and it like has boosters and blasters.
Yeah.
So just enough for you to be like, oh, this is some cool stuff. Like the Ethereum is what they call space. Yeah. And you can breathe in space, which is so cool.
Right, yeah.
So there's like black holes and stuff, but you get to be a pirate.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were saying like it's a whole different feeling if it is like Guardians of the Galaxy where you're like surrounded by this glass. You know, you get to be out on the, like there's wind.
Outside in space.
Yeah, which is really cool.
I didn't think of that.
But the rumors is that there is a few Disney like executives who didn't want to pivot toward a blend of 2D and 3D animation because they had this technology called deep canvassing that they used for... Did you see Tarzan?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember when he's like... His feet are just going like down all the like tree trunks.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's
and
like
he's like the rollerblading down tree trunks on his heels pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's called deep canvassing technology where it starts off as this like gray forms and like they like it's like looks like clay. So that's what all the tree trunks are in that image or in the sequence. And then animators will put like a dude on top of that. So Tarzan goes on top of, it looks like tubes or like octopus arms.
Okay.
But then another person will go in and add all the like tree branch effects. So like all of the green moss and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So then you can like move the camera in different ways because perspective is really hard when you're drawing it in 2D. So imagine like John Silver's weird cyborg arms trying to like draw all of the contraptions.
Yeah.
But if you can mechanically like code that into a computer, mm-hmm. it has a much easier time of that.
Moving it in the right ways. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the robot that we haven't talked about yet named Ben in Treasure Planet.
Yep.
He is a fully 3D like CG guy.
Yeah.
But then they kind of just like put on top of him like a little thin blanket all of the texture and stuff.
Okay.
But like a sticker. They put like a sticker on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of does look like that.
Yeah, he does look like a sticker. Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much it was really expensive and they saw that movies like Toy Story and Pixar movies were very much making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a theory, a rumor, and it feels like it's true. So then that makes me think it is true.
Mm-hmm.
That they, because they were planning a sequel for this, which starred Willem Dafoe as a villain.
What?
So cool. And like the second I heard that, I was like, I wish I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't know that. That sucks. Oh, gosh.
What could have been?
I know. So then that is disappointing, but I think they didn't want to make that sequel. So then they had it release on the same weekend as Harry Potter. Number one.
That'll do it.
The first Harry Potter and their own movie, a sequel to The Santa Claus, with Tim Allen.
Yeah.
And supposedly audiences were used to, like, if it comes out in the winter, like, the DVD will be out in the summer,
mm-hmm.
which, I don't know, maybe I wasn't really cognizant then. Yeah. I was, like, 5 years old.
But they intentionally tanked it.
Yeah, that's what the word on the street is, and that's what a lot of people think. And then somebody commented on one of the, like, lead head animators on his Instagram saying, like, watch this half-hour video about how, like, Disney tanked this movie on purpose. And he commented back, like, I don't think I have to watch it. I lived it. So that, for some people, feels like a confirmation of what this movie is. But what happened was Musker and Clements, they're the directors.
Mm-hmm.
They had made like The Great Mouse Detective, Little Mermaid, like really, really good movies that made a lot of money, like Aladdin.
Yeah.
Aladdin used some of that 3D technology.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of movies that they, I think, you know, had fun making, but didn't necessarily want to make.
Yeah.
Every single time they had that, they were like, can we make Treasure Planet? And they were like, no. So like four or five times, yeah. Disney was like, no. So then you should go on YouTube if you want to hear more about this, but this guy on YouTube, his name's Bread Sword, which is fun because you never think of those combined, that combination. Sure. But he's got a great half-hour YouTube video on it, and I'm pretty much just like spewing out things I've heard from other people.
Yeah.
But then they finally were like, all right, you made four or five successful movies for us. Thank you for doing that. You mm-hmm. can make Treasure Planet.
Yeah, but we're going to tank it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. And so then it would have been a really cool franchise is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And then they left Disney because of that. And then they went on to make a bunch of cool stuff, but including Moana.
Yeah.
Like, how great is that?
It's a decent movie.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So anyway, a bit of a disappointment.
Like we should make this our cause, our hill to die on.
Yeah.
Our white
Treasure Planet 2.
Our white space whale.
Yeah, it's a white space whale.
Where
we
just absolutely hand it to Disney executives. Even though none of them were probably around at this time.
I think it might have been, and I might get this wrong, it might have been Jeffrey Katzenberg who went on to try to make what's that like series where you like could watch TV shows horizontal. It was
I don't know.
It felt like something like Tubi. Man, I cannot believe I can't remember this right now. I feel like it could have been a multitude of executives because there was a turnover during this time. It took like 10 years to make this movie if you technically want to like start it, like when concept art started.
Yeah.
Like one of the directors was like,
crazy.
Before we even started actually like quote unquote production, so like what was actually going to go into the movie,
mm-hmm.
there was 15,000 concept art pieces made for this
crazy.
Movie. Like most of the commentary was just like, most of the commentary was oh, this person and then their name made this. This person, their name, did this sequence. This person, their name. And like the amount of artists and people who really made this shine is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should definitely die on this hill.
Yes.
And just, well, emails. I'll start a Twitter for the first time in my life. Just to, I really like getting into weird things to be mad about.
Yes, or, I'm mad about it for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey Katzenberg tried to make Quibi. Do you remember Quibi?
I have no memory.
Well, that's great. That's good for you. But during the like pandemic, there was this streaming service that was pretty much like, it was trying to make TikTok for boomers, mm-hmm. where real like, you know, famous people came alongside and made these shows that you could watch on your phone, and they were vertical. That was kind of their selling point.
Because boomers don't know how to turn their phones?
I'm just saying, like, it should have been more, it should have been more hip for, like, people who are younger.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, and he just, like, poured money after, like, so much money into it.
Gotcha.
And it just didn't work out because nobody actually wanted to watch TV shows their phone like that.
I'm all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, there's some, everybody, it's like a joke. Quibi's a joke.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But what was I going to say? Yeah, I feel like I would be fine with a remake of this movie in live action.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I think it would do really well. And that would be really fun. That would
be great, but they're probably not going to do that.
No.
Because it didn't make enough money.
Because they're lame.
Just sad.
Yeah, because they don't get it.
Anna, what do you like about Treasure Planet?
Everything.
Wait, come over here.
Yeah.
Why did you introduce Treasure Planet to me?
Why?
Yeah.
Because it's amazing, and it was part of my childhood.
But when you were a kid, did you have any favorite aspects of it?
Yeah, I honestly am kind of sad to admit that I liked the robot the best, because now as an adult watching, Ben. I know.
It's a little creepy. He kind of sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. He's charming.
It's changed now. It's changed now. Yes. I've grown up.
Well, I mean, that's good to know that he was successful for kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Supposedly that moment where David Doppler, the like horrible, annoying guy, who, he's not horrible. The annoying like PhD guy, Dr. David Doppler.
Yeah.
The dog man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly
yeah.
when he was like, oh, Dilbert, not
Dilbert. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry. When he was like
David Doppler.
Yeah. Well, isn't he Dilbert Doppler?
I think it's just Dilbert.
I think it might be Dr. David Doppler.
No, Dilbert, not David.
Dilbert. Well, he's, anyway, when he improvised...
It is Doppler.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Dilbert
when
Doppler.
When the actor improvised the line, go Dilbert, go Dilbert, go Dilbert.
Yeah, that sucks.
Supposedly they played that for like preview audiences and it got a laugh like every time. And then they like tried to re-record it like 10 or 12 different more times. And every time, no one would laugh at the re-recording, just the original improvisation.
Wow.
Which is really fun.
That
like,
is
he
fascinating.
He captured some spark that like 8-year-olds just ate up.
That's so interesting.
So,
that is cool.
Anything else to say?
No.
I think I was worried.
I'm hungry.
Okay.
I was worried because with kids' movies, sometimes if you don't have a childhood attachment to them, they're no good.
Yes.
But I was pleasantly surprised. That even though I have zero childhood attachment,
I'm very glad this was an enjoyable movie. You enjoyed it. We'll have to watch Atlantis and Road to El Dorado.
That one I know.
Yeah, Emperor's New Groove is a classic in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's the movie I've probably seen the most.
Wow,
I've probably seen it like 50 or 60 times.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
of time.
It's a lot of times. Yes, or Sinbad, The Legend of the Seven Seas, starring Brad Pitt.
That one's, I might have seen it, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good ones. Prince of Egypt. Have you seen Prince of Egypt?
Uh-huh.
That's an all-timer. That's a 5 out of 5. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
So many.
So good.
Memorable moments, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like this movie, even though there's a lot of tonal shifts and the robot's kind of annoying, like, I find him to be charming in a weird way where it's like, oh, he's so annoying that, like, it's funny. I don't know. It's funny how not funny he is.
It just felt weird to introduce what appears to be a fairly major character.
Yeah.
Kind of late in the game.
Yeah, totally. It's 100% the biggest flaw of this movie.
Yeah.
You're like an hour into the movie and then you meet this like stranded on a desert island planet dude and you're like, this is, he's so obnoxious, dude.
And he's been alone for like centuries.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
You're like, I don't have any more emotional bandwidth to feel bad for this robot.
Have you found my missing circuit?
Yeah.
Just,
Martin Short.
Yelling, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good actor. But supposedly, like, him talking about his missing piece, according to the animators, is a cool thing because they tried to make a lot of the people have a quote-unquote metaphorical missing piece.
Sure.
So, like, Jim's missing his dad. Mm-hmm. John Silver is missing, you know, maybe his arm or his heart.
Who knows? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, you can kind of fill in the blanks with a lot of that. Mm. And there was more stuff for... I thought Emma Thompson did a great job as Captain Lady.
Amelia. I think it's Amelia.
Is that her name? Amelia? She did a great job.
I did not buy the love connection.
Oh, interesting. Captain I thought Amelia it was fine.
And Dr. Delbert. It's not Dilbert, it's Delbert.
Delbert.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I like to be accurate, even though I'm not.
We usually get there eventually.
Yeah, we get there. I kind of like their romance, but this was like my third or fourth time watching it, so...
Okay.
And one of my favorite moments is when he like shoots a gun and it hits like a good thing and it like kills like four people.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Were you aiming for that?" And he's like, "Do you know what actually was?" I love
yeah,
that
it was
line.
A good line.
He's like surprised at himself.
Yeah.
Do you know what actually was?
Yeah.
Like that is a great line.
I think maybe it was just the speed at which.
Yeah. Yeah.
She falls in love.
Well,
with
you caught on to it immediately.
Oh, it was like, so obvious.
Like
yeah.
a big. Flarp of like weird stuff comes out from the whale and
yeah.
lands on him, and then there's a shot of her like smiling. And, yeah, exactly.
It's like side
yeah, it's
eye,
like
and,
giving
like, a
the DreamWorks face. Yeah.
Yep.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah, I did the Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, yeah. Pointing at the screen. Uh-huh. I see it. I see it. Yeah. But I could go on and gush forever about this movie, but I love. The guy who plays John Silver, his name is Brian Murray, mm-hmm. and he just nails it.
Yeah.
He nails it.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good. Whenever he's like, Jimbo, you know, like, just he's, and one of my favorite moments of him and his performance slash the animators was when he and Jim have that big fighting, yelling match about, like, the map. And, then they like Morph, I think maybe stays with Jim, I think. Mm-hmm. And then as you see John Silver walking back to his crew, you see the like remorse on his face.
Yeah.
You see him feel bad about the fighting, the yelling and the arguing.
Yeah.
And he's anyway.
I really liked that in the end he stayed a pirate.
Oh yeah.
Like, and he still like went off on his own.
Yep.
And stayed kind of removed from
mm.
like being a part of a family would have been too much for him.
Totally.
Whereas Jim goes back and joins a family and like gets a job and all this stuff. But I really liked that he didn't do that. They could have easily done that.
Oh,
been
yeah.
like he's a part of the family now. Yeah. And that would have felt so out of character.
Yeah.
It's like the dad from Talladega Nights. Sorry, I don't know how this crossover is coming
into
me.
Six Baby Jesus.
No, not Will Ferrell's character, but his dad, who's like this degenerate.
Okay.
And like has to reteach him how to drive. But as soon as things start to get chummy with the family, they go to Applebee's and he starts a fight.
Oh, gotcha.
And he just says, "I can't do it. Yeah. I can't do that life. That's not it to me." Actually, there's a lot of similarities between the... I think the dad from Talladega Nights might have been stolen directly from this character.
That's amazing. Only you can make that connection.
Yeah, except it's the same dad that left comes back.
Oh, okay.
But I think essentially the same
That's
character
amazing.
Comes back. He teaches him how to drive. There's this whole montage of them coming together.
I love that.
But he's never going to be a family man. He's still going to be a degenerate a-hole.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
These people need therapy. But it's also fun that he gets to be a pirate because, like, then it's more of a connection to the Treasure Island vibe.
Yes.
And it feels true to his character. And, I mean, he's just – at a certain point, I feel like if you're 50 or 60 years old and you've been doing something for so long, it's got to be really hard to, like, teach an old dog new tricks. Like,
right.
You know, he can't just change his core being. Maybe.
You can only ask so much.
Yes. And he's got that line about, like, wanting to be free. He doesn't want to be, like, cooped up, you know?
Right.
I think he has that line. And his best moment, or one of his... I've been saying that a lot, but I feel like one of his best moments is when he, like, gives Morph to Jim. and Morph is okay with that, but it's like a, just a heartbreaking, sad moment.
Yeah.
Supposedly in the office of like making this movie, there was a lot of arguing about like, I don't think that you can give away a pet, you know, like the dog people in the animation studio were like, I could never give my dog away to somebody else.
I don't care how much I love that boy.
But but I think the sticking point was Morph would be better off with Jim.
Yeah.
And
he knew that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not technically a dog, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Really
that,
good.
That scene where he leaves Jim, but leaves him with Morph, next to the song montage was probably the best.
Yeah.
And I also thought, there's a line in there, right at the beginning, there's a line where Jim's mom is asking him about what's he going to do with his future because he's just gotten in trouble again. Totally, and she's like, I'm worried about your future.
Yes.
And he goes, what future? He kind of mumbles it to himself.
Oh, yeah.
And that was another Leonardo DiCaprio, like, that's important.
Yes.
They're going to come back to that. And then at the end, he asked Jim, you know, what do you see when you look out there? And he goes, I see my future.
Yeah.
Like, I see the future. And I was like, that's good. That was well done.
Dude, and I prefer early Joseph Gordon-Levitt to later Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's great in this movie.
I love him sometimes. I like him in some movies.
I 100% agree.
And then there are other movies where I'm like, I don't...
Yeah, I can't stand you for some reason.
It feels like he's trying so
hard. Dude, yes! He's a try-hard guy.
He's a try-hard.
He gives, like, L.A. vibes. I don't know. He's just like, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, really happy and, like... I don't know. If I saw him and he, like, met a fan nearby me or met me and he was, like, really happy to see me or whatever, I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just eat your food and...
I don't think he's...
We're good. Uh-huh. Like, I don't think you're genuine.
He gives
right
me
now.
Kind of, not quite as much, but kind of Tobey Maguire vibes.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, I don't think you're friendly in real life. I can't say.
Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Could be great.
I don't know. He seems like he's trying to be a nice guy.
It does seem like he's trying too hard sometimes.
Yeah.
In some movies.
But supposedly people call him Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Gordon-Levitt. Yeah.
Joey Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
I like him a little better now.
Recently, Emma Stone was like, yeah, I wish people would call me Emily, but you choose a name for like the SAG card you get and then that's it.
And that's it. You're stuck.
So yeah, it's crazy how many people don't go by their real name in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Wow. I didn't know.
But, yeah, so nice. This movie's amazing. I could talk about it forever. I think that space is really cool in it, and they make space look amazing. Everybody does a great job. They cut a lot of scenes to make it a shorter movie, and I think that's fine just because it breezes by.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an hour and a half, maybe less.
Yeah.
Probably less. I feel like... Just this is one of the most rewatchable movies for me for some reason. Because it sparks my imagination and I'm so invested in the characters.
Yeah.
And is it a perfect movie? No. But is it near perfect? Yeah. It's very near perfect.
I'll watch it again.
Yeah, same.
For sure.
Yeah. So go check it out. And thank you for listening.
What music are you listening to?
Okay. We are so close to being over an hour, which is fine.
Oh, no.
We don't care at all. So what music am I listening to?
Yeah.
I am listening to some ambient music. Aphex Twin has some ambient music.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really interesting. I would recommend to anyone who wants to try this out. You know how you can either have silence or music in your car?
Mm-hmm.
Well, ambient music is like the in-between.
It's both.
Of that. It is both. So you can like think, but also you can like have a soundtrack to your thinking. It's like going into a Mario stage for your thoughts.
Wow.
Like, I don't know.
It's really good.
It's really interesting.
I like that.
But yeah, Aphex Twin, if you want to like listen to what your favorite artist listens to, maybe Aphex Twin is your thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people name drop him in their songs or like Kanye used him as a sample.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
I did not think that's what you were going
to
say.
No, yeah, that's the only thing I can think of right now.
Fantastic.
I'm a big podcast guy. I listen to the same podcast every week.
That's so awesome.
You see me, I'm probably listening to somebody talk about Treasure Planet or
whatever, yeah,
the latest movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
Uh-huh. How about you?
I have been listening to a lot of Jeff Rosenstock.
Who's that?
Are you aware of him?
No.
He the closest I can say is like it's like rock music. It's like modern rock music, but nice. It's punk vibes.
Yeah.
And he also does a little ska, which is fun.
Ooh, fun.
The best way to describe it, he recently came out with an album, not recently, like a year ago, called Hell Mode.
Nice.
And yeah, it's great.
Play it while playing Doom.
Yes. Yeah. Well, here's how I would describe it. Did you ever play Tony Hawk Pro Skater?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Maybe,
okay.
Maybe a half hour.
it is like an album that sounds like it was written just for a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game.
That sounds awesome.
It's punk, but with a little bit of ska in it.
Some PS2 vibes.
Yeah. Some anger, but also some slower ones.
Okay.
If you're looking for something really deep, this is not it.
Yeah, I love it.
But it is... It's really nice. It's a good listen if you're into, you know, rock music and yelling and ska.
What's the name again?
Jeff Rosenstock.
Okay, great.
And the most recent album is Hell Mode.
Yeah.
Which also has a song in it called Heel Mode. Which nice. Is really, it's really nice.
Yeah, it's really good. That's cool.
He's doing both. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Music is good.
It's great.
I love music.
We love Jeff Rosenstock.
Yeah. Well, we will see you all next week. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Two mics.
Two mics now. And let us know if the audio's
made. Yeah. Big time.
Bye.
Man.